Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Young Voices. My name is Bakai, and I will be your host. On today's program, we're going to be talking about self-care and its role in promoting health and rights for young key populations. And today, I am joined by Mona Lisa Akintole from Uganda. Mona Lisa is a member of the VYV Consortium and Cyprian Komba from Tanzania. Cyprian is from the National Network of Young People Living with HIV in Tanzania, NYP Plus. To kickstart our discussion, starting with you, Mona Lisa, then Cyprian, can you share with us why HIV and sexual reproductive health and right self-care interventions for young people can be a game changer in ending challenges that young key populations face when accessing the SRHR and HIV information and services?
Thank you so much, and good afternoon once again. That question is very vital when you're unpacking what self-care can mean to our communities of KPs, if you choose to call it that, in how then we access SRHR services, and then how we get to integrate HIV/AIDS services into that as well. And for me, I would start off by just explaining or giving a definition of self-care that will help us understand how important that is. So self-care is the ability of individuals, that is you and I, families and communities, to be able to promote health, prevent disease, maintain health and cope with illness and disability with or without support of a health worker. And this is solely because if you've gotten the opportunity or a chance to get this education around what self-care means, is you will know how to address those issues. A basic example to why this is important was seen during the times of COVID-19 that exacerbated the way we thought self-care would be like, how would it then be streamlined into our work. And we saw an issue that was a China issue trickling down into our different communities, or what we choose to call countries. And we saw how it then affected our access to SRHR services, to HIV services, and it needed a comprehensive kind of intervention to be able to then circumvent those issues that were arising. So why I'm giving a little bit of background of that is to bring to awareness of the fact that self-care has always been part of our lives, regardless if you go to seek out a health service or you just stay home in your own vicinity and say, today I'm going to do regular exercises, I'm going to eat healthy, I am going to just unwind off from technology and give myself time to rest. So what that means for a person, for a key population that is affected and living with HIV per se, is that it gives you time to rejuvenate, to sort of like bring yourself back together to that awareness that you're a holistic human being, and self-care is that important for you to be able to rejuvenate and then be able to go back to your day's work. So sadly, in most African countries, when we talk about HIV integration together with SR and HR and self-care, it's sort of seen to be an issue that is underlooked, never funded. So that means we never pay attention to our self-care until it gets to that time when we are doing really bad in terms of our health. So for me, self-care is that vital because it's this basic information that everybody is supposed to have at their fingertips to know that if I do not have access to art, where can I be able to seek it? Because in self-care itself is a component of information sharing, making information so accessible to each and everybody in our communities for them to be better decision makers about their lives. And it is so sad that most times when we speak about these concepts, when you speak about self-care and speak about its integration in HIV, in SRHR, we sort of come off as people that maybe are two sexual beings and all our livelihoods is about sex. And we never pay attention to the nitty-gritties of that importance. And it's until issues escalate and and disease, like how we choose to call it, is no longer curable, then that time people pay attention to self-care. Let's take you to the doctor. Let's involve community members. Can we then sort of like have plans of reshuffling and subverting systems around the laws that govern our health system? So for me, self-care has come at that point in time where we need to speak about it so very often, and we evangelize it so that everybody has this information of when I'm sick, I'm able to get services. When these laws don't work for me, where is my redress system? It's that package of information that is given that then helps people make better decisions about their lives and how they want to live within these societies. And I think my experience from working within a community that is marginalized, that is always pushed to the farthest of options when it comes to getting services, is we never realize that we need each other to be able to reach the 2030 stated global kind of outcome that people would love to see around HIV and AIDS brought to its knees by 2030. So when we keep sidelining and not paying attention to these issues, then I'm thought to believe that this would be really a very good vision, but will not be able to envision it because we failed at the basics of what that means. So self-care for me, to that, in that particular sense, is that we failed in that sense. Yeah.
Yes. From my end, I think I'll have to chip in and just talk a little bit about what I do understand much more about the self-care concept and what it is slowly in advancing the access of SRHR and the HIV service to in young people, particularly KP's perspectives. First and foremost, I would love to say that self-care is a really promising and exciting new approaches to improve the health and the well-being for both the health system perspectives and even for the people. And also the self-care, we need to know that is not just about only finding a way to relax. It is about taking care of ourselves mentally, physically, socially, sometimes spiritually, and even emotionally. And I can call the self-care as a game changer in advancing the access of sexually productive AIDS and the HIV services, because as a young people, as a young KPs, we always face different challenges. For example, we are facing stigma, discrimination, criminalization, and all of other things that age with us and they deter us from complete participation in the health services, accessing services, and even sometimes seeking for those services. So when we speak about the self-care concept, it is the concept that brings about the hope to us, because we are now able to navigate the services. We are now able to navigate the processes in our own, sometimes with the support of the healthcare providers and sometimes without the support of the healthcare providers. And from my end, I can always say that self-care is the game changer, because it first increased the coverage and the access of the services that, for instance, the coverage might be a little bit smaller comparing if you are just saving people at maybe at a certain facilities, comparing if you have promoted them to be able to take care for themselves, to be able to adhere to medication, to be able to do self-test, to be able to screen themselves from the diseases and identify the challenge that have gone through and finding a way to solve them. So this is the game changer, and it can really increase the coverage and even the access. And also it reduced the health inequalities. As you know that the recent UNAIDS launched the In Danger report talks a lot about the inequalities that stall the HIV progress. As we know that young key population, we are mentioned here, the people being left behind in accessing and reaching those services that are vital for us to advance our health. But definitely if we are promoting and this self-care is really promoted and it works with us, the key populations, it support us to be able to make sure that we are able to navigate the services, because we might not be feeling, we might not be worried of the issues like discriminations, we might not be worried of the issue of criminalization, so et cetera, because we can access the services without the assistance of the healthcare providers, and we can be able to manage ourselves and to move forward in terms of medication, treatment, examination, self-testing, and even acquiring self-awareness. So to me, self-care, it's really, really vital and important, as my previous speaker commented about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for these reflections. Maybe still with you, Cyprian, you mentioned some of the challenges that these young key populations face. So according to you, what kind of policies or frameworks, or rather programs, that are needed to ensure that these self-care practices on HIV and SRH are work for young key populations in your area?
Yeah, definitely from my area, what I can say, the kind of policy that we need to advance the self-care, it's what I can say is just improving from the policies that we already have and they're already working. We should look around on how are we integrating self-care component, because it is not always being integrated. And it is like my predecessor said, it is always underfunded, not looked at all. That's why it's not being taken that much seriously. And it has been always left behind. So we have different policies that are working to make sure that maybe we access HIV services. We have the condom distribution guidelines, for instance, in my country. We have the HIV prevention policies. All of these policies, we should find a way that we are integrating the self-care concept, and it's well understood from the government perspective, to the healthcare providers, even to us young key populations ourselves, that we are able to, that this self-care is integrated, and we know that it's it is what we need to demand from the government, and because it has been prescribed in our national policy. So in my country, we have the different policies working in making sure that we fight off the HIV/AIDS epidemics. But all of these policies that we currently have in our country does not talk much more about the self-care concept. As we know, WHO has already launched the self-care intervention guidelines, consolidated self-care intervention guidelines. I think now it's a higher time in my country, for instance, to advocate to see how best are we making sure that we integrate the self-care concept in our national policies, and also whatever we are just programming, any kind of the interventions, particularly for us young key populations, the self-care concept is also integrated, because, as I said before, that it is something very vital. It makes us being able to access and even sometimes navigate the services without the support and even the assistance of the healthcare provider. And also it may help the government in other way around to reduce to save the resources, that we have a limited resources in a country. We need to hire healthcare providers. We need to hire psychiatric psychologists to make sure that they work with us young people. But definitely, if the self-care concept is promoted and it is integrated in our national policies and in our interventions, we will be able now to make sure that we reduce the resource burden that we currently have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cyprian. Mona Lisa, maybe you can share the situation in your country regarding the policies, the programs.
I'm not really be different from what Cyprian has shared, but for me, I feel like we are known to have the best policies in Uganda when it comes to HIV and AIDS prevention. But I think their implementations happens in Rwanda. So what that means is that simply we have so many amazing policies and guidelines that are supposed to help us and be able to kind of give this vision of where we want to see ourselves in 2030 or beyond in terms of curbing down HIV/AIDS spread within young KPs per se. But when the policies come out and when you kind of articulate what this policy is about, there's still criminalization in them. So for me, it is like a double-edged sword. It's a give and take. So you're giving me this good policy, but then criminalizing me within that very policy. So when you look at the SRHR guideline that we have around HIV/AIDS prevention in Uganda, it speaks well of integration, of leaving nobody behind. But when it comes to implementation, we see to it that even having conversations around sexuality, where most of us face our issues, is we find it very hard to speak about gay people, lesbian people, transgender persons. What kind of needs do they need? Because it's seen as a promotion or a perversion of the kind of societies that we are, the fact that you're marginalized. So these issues, as long as they do not come to the table and be discussed, We have amazing policies on book, but when it comes to implementation, where we're speaking about no stigmatization, no criminalization, no discrimination, we are leaving people out. Recently, we have been I've been following up a case on one famous pastor, Pastor Sempa, that said Pastor Sempa versus one beauty contestant that is well known within the HIV spectrum, and she was speaking about having this pageant for people that are living positive to feel empowered to take up those spaces where they are feeling beautiful and empowered individuals. But this one individual came out and said that we are promoting HIV within the young population. It's like us saying that we need to have a pageant around who takes up the beauty queen around syphilis and gonorrhea. So that's stigmatizing and discriminating thought and language of people around what our lived experiences and lived realities of our lives, then undermines how we are to curb the spread of HIV. So for me, when we are looking also at self-care, the other component I also bring in is around the language that we use. When we say you are marginalized, when you say I'm a KEPI, what does that mean in service delivery? If you're saying I'm a far too rich community, that means I'll never get these services. So to me, in terms of even how we structure our policies and the wording in there, it's very stigmatizing and it kind of sends you at the periphery where you cannot easily access these services because they have called you a KEPI person. So this pathologizing of people that are KEPI, that is one, but also living with HIV, is sort of undermining what that self-care component would look like in our policies, in our guidelines, and that needs to be subverted as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing, Mona Lisa. So as we round off, still with you, Mona, what is that one key statement that you can say if we are going to advocate for and promote, will actually promote the access to these HIV and SRH self-care commodities for young key populations for the same that you just mentioned? What is that, maybe where we can improve?
Thank you for that question. So we could improve, first of all, in our policies. It goes back because these policies then guide how implementation happens, how services are given. So call young people, young care populations to tables where these decisions are being made for us to have our input there, to have the kind of language that we feel like our communities will respond to easily and not feel discriminated or sidelined, even in the wording itself. The other opportunity I see in this is if we are to improve actually the self-care component that is picking momentum at this day and era, is around funding, because we can't do anything without the funding. We live in a very capitalistic world that everything is centered around money. So we need to have the Benjamins to be able to actually have these interventions, to try them out, to test them, to research about them, and then be able to disseminate them through our communities so that there is uptake. Self-care has a component that simply looks at accessibility, affordability, and availability of these resources. As long as these resources are isolated and not enriched with the people that need them, then that is not self-care in its sense. It's just a self-care in explanation, but on the ground, it's not happening. So there needs to be that. The funding, the change of those policies that kind of like make our communities pathological and not look at us in a human rights best approach sense of giving of services, but you're looked at as a disease, not as a human being.
Thank you, Mona. Cyprian?
Yes. From my end, I'll not be far from my previous speaker, Mona, said about what should be advocating for, in case that she had given a chance to advocate for self-care and sexual reproductive health and HIV being integrated. From my end, what I can say, I'd love first everyone globally, and starting from my country, understand that whatever we are taking, any stress relief activities in the world won't help if we are not taking care of ourselves. So we should be promoted. We should be supported to be able to take care for ourselves. That is very, very vital, because screening us and finding that we're living with HIV is another thing. Taking us and retaining us in care is another thing. And making sure that maybe we violently suppressed it for those who are living with HIV, some other things, or we are using those commodities with another things. So we cannot use them. We cannot accept those commodities, and we cannot be able to put ourselves out of vulnerabilities if we are not supported to make sure that we understand and we are doing self-care. And as you know, that I told you, as I said before, taking medication, sometimes accessing those, going to search for the services, accessing the services, searching for the information, all of these is you are doing to take care of yourself. You are accountable to yourself. So what I would have to say maybe to the, like how my predecessor said, Mona, that first is calling for the donors to see how are they going to fund the self-care and being integrated in all of the sexual reproductive AIDS and HIV interventions. And also working around our policies, making sure that they recognize the self-care concept. But at the end, I will always insist on making sure that every young person, particularly young KP, have an access to a range of quality sexual, reproductive health, and the HIV services. And this can be done if we develop an intervention tailor-made to support adolescent and young people living with HIV and the young key population, including but not limited to protective barrier for young people identifying as lesbian, bisexual, or queer women, intersex, or young people. And also invest in the mental health services and the inclusive, comprehensive sexuality education using expanded contents, making sure that this concept of self-care, it is emphasized from when we are just growing, when we are in the primary school, when we are growing, from when we are in the primary school, secondary school, all of these self-care components, self-care concept is really emphasized and is integrated in comprehensive sexuality educations. And also making sure that young people are consulted in identifying our changing service delivery needs and those responses tailor-made to meet what we need. And the lastly, but not the least, I would also advocate on the development of the robust accountability mechanism for the implementation of laws supporting people accessing services, and also they can also be able to navigate the services without the support of the healthcare providers. Thank you. That is all from my end.
May I take this time to thank you, Cyprian Komba and Mona Lisa Akintola, for joining me today, because this has been such an interesting discussion, very timely for us as young people in our diversity. And I'm very certain that after listening, we will walk away with rich information on the impacts of the HIV and SRHR self-care practices that young key populations are practicing and can practice promoting their health and rights. Thank you for listening. And if you have any further questions or contributions, feel free to engage with us on our social media platforms, that is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can also visit our website at www.yplusglobal.org. Thank you so much to our listeners, the crew behind the scenes, and most importantly, our supporters. It's a bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.